they have too many horses in the turf races that are just shipped in, so I have to pass. Another time, you don't want to play a turf race if you've got two turf horses in there and a field of 10 and the rest of them just coming from the main track. You want to leave that kind of race alone. Now, what you can do, if they don't run turf races often in your home, and they do cart one, and they've got a turf horse in there who has outstanding APV and class figures, that's probably the horse you want to bet. And when you look at his turf earnings, remember, not his main track earnings, his turf earnings. Now, some of you here that are new here, and a horse ships in from Europe, you're going to have to know how you use the multiplier. If he ships in from France, you multiply his total turf earnings by 3. Let's get that down. That's going to be really important to you, because especially if you've got races being by satellite coming into your home and you want to be able to do this race and make some money at it, because you can make some money at them because they run true to form. If he's coming in from England and Ireland, you multiply times 5 his turf earnings. If he's coming in from South America, from Australia, New Zealand, multiply times 6 his turf earnings. This gives you his APV, the kind of horses he's been running against. Australia, South America, New Zealand. And sometimes you can see a horse is shipping in from France or England who has won over $1 million in the multiplier, when you use the multiplier. And these horses are always very, very dangerous, and when they're in form, they're very, very dangerous. We don't get the kind of prices we used to get on those kind of horses, because on the Southern California circuit, the guy that calls the race up there gives you his form numbers, his foreign numbers. And if the form numbers, and if they like 119 and 120, sometimes everybody jump on them. But we used to get really high prices off them. But this is what you want to look at. Yes.
What do you compare those numbers to?
Well, you run your APV in class. Your APV in class figures. And the APV is the most domineering of the two. Yes.
What about
from Germany? 5 times 5. But usually, if you notice more, something I found, and a lot of times when the horse runs in Germany, he's also ran in France. And if he won in France, I just use 3. Now, if he ran well in France, I just use 3. Yes? You don't get any horses hardly out of Hong Kong or Japan. Once in a while, a horse comes in from Hong Kong, and I multiply it times 6. But whenever I've seen a horse that ran in Hong Kong, usually he had a horse that run in Europe before. If he's a stakes, greatest stakes horse on the turf, he had run in Europe somewhere and then shipped to Hong Kong. I think we had one here in the last few months. I saw one horse that had been shipped to Hong Kong and had come from Hong Kong back to America. But he had come from Europe previously. Yes. No, you can't. You can't. Yeah, he's asking about. I've seen those horses come from Calder and whatnot, and they just give you the final time. What I do, if they ran well, and I know a good time when I see it for Calder, what I do is I just make them up a half mile time and a 3/4 mile time. That's the way I've done. I had one here not too long ago. He ran 2nd or 3rd that came from Calder, and I said, well, he had been over the track a couple of times, but I still thought that his best race was at Calder. And I made him up a time and used it. But you might not be able to do that yet. That'll come to you later on. A good example, if you see a horse been running in Europe and say he went a 134, well, you know that horse is skipping along pretty fast. That means he can go about a 45 and 3, or 45 and 4, and a 109 and 4, or a 110 and 2. Something in that. Yeah.
You know, like you put in, you said you plug in that time that was missing. Do that on shippers that come here from France or England?
Yeah.
Good money. You plug in some
fresh. Yeah. Yeah, I do it.
So
yeah, because I can look at it. If a horse ran that fast, I say, well, this horse, he had to be running fast at the half and the three-quarter time to run that fast. He couldn't have been 20 lengths off and then do that, you know. So I put in a good time for him, and then I put in where I figured he was. If I say 109.4, I said, well, he could have been a length back at that call, you know, and he kept closing. Because they do, usually they keep closing in England, you know, they run the last part of the race, the last two or three furlongs of the race is where they really make their move. Yes.
How do you reconcile a pound difference?
Same as distance. Same as distance. Yeah, if it says about 6.5, it's 6.5. Just use 6.5. Yes. No, they work horses on the main track all the time when they run on the turf. But the same horses, they work well on the main track, but sometimes they don't run well on the main track with their turf runners. But they work them on the main. Mm-hmm. No. I use this main track race. He had ran a good mile race that was set up that he could run on the turf. I knew that he could run on the turf, but I knew he couldn't beat this kind of a horse on the turf. He would need another race to beat this kind of a horse, I figured. So I put him, what I did, I used in exacta, I put two horses underneath Jimmy and two horses underneath the other horse that I thought would win the race, with Jimmy included in the second slot. That's the way I got it. I didn't box it, because they were too short a price. But I thought Jimmy would win, and he was, when you look at it and you see prices like that, well, then you got to go with the flow there, because you got a horse 9-1, and he's run with this competition and ran extremely well, and the rest of them are 6-5 and 2-1. What are you going to do? Yes?
You put a place at Joe Bet, your top horses, 9-1 or higher?
Yeah, well, in the race, just following the race I was telling you about at Golden Gate, I got $9 for the place horse. I bet him the place. I bet him to win and place. In this particular race, I bet the same amount of money on each one of the horses. Okay, let's get Smith and Hamilton up here. Yes.
Down,
yes.
Over what they would get in the fast.
Yeah.
Should that bother me as a handicapper when I'm taking my stuff off of fast track, firm track? Should that type of service?
Well, you want to look for a fast. If he ran on a yielding last time out and it's a fast track today, you really want to look for a fast track. You don't want to take a horse that's on a fast track today and use a yielding track, a yielding pace line.
But if it's yielding today and I take it off a fast track, Does the fact that the fractions have slowed down allow horses to put them with the slower fractions? Does that give them a chance to win?
No.
Okay.
No.
The best horse is
going
to win
the race. I don't know whether you saw the Arlington Million the year that John Henry won it, and the Bart had a long lead on him at the top of the stretch. And John Henry was laying, I think, 20-some lengths off at one time, moved up to 16 lengths off the pace. And John Henry was still coming. The Bart was down in the drive, and they thought, the Ellidale Hooster thought he had the race won. And he says, here comes John Henry. And when they got to the wire, John Henry laid his nose past him and won it. That's the way those turf horses run. They know when to move. They move late, and they win the race. And if one goes early and goes wire to wire, he still ran sustained, believe me. Thank you.
Anybody want to take a very short break? Let's take a very short one here.
You really have to get close on this sucker, don't you?
If I hold it down here, it's not picking up at all.
There you go.
Okay, I'll learn to hold it up here.
Usually I don't have to get quite that close to him.
All right. You've seen the rest, now hear the best. Come on, get in your seats.
He's watching everybody kicking them out of the hallway.
All right. Here we go. Yeehaw. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wing it a little bit because we just found out 45 minutes ago that Howard didn't put the TPR charts in the manual that we thought we were going to have. So, unless you have the bright yellow book, and how many of you don't own the book? No one? Okay, the line forms at the back. Did y'all like it? Good, yeah.
How many people know how to calculate total pace ratings? How many people don't or don't even have a concept of them? Just a few, okay.
Because we really can't do the mechanics of it without those charts. They're sort of the body and soul of this thing. So essentially, all we can do is tell you that big numbers are better than little numbers. This is not an overhead projector. This is a throughput projector.
Yeah, it's a computer upright.
So this is a transparency projector.
I'd like to make a couple comments about to open up. Does anybody remember the stuff we were talking about that I was talking about last night with the PARs for Hollywood Park, the minimum PARs? Do you remember 85 final fraction, 85 early in a route? Okay, in a sprint, I don't know if I mentioned this last night, but the absolute minimum is about 89. All right? This is just kind of a general rule of thumb. If you see an 89, 85, this horse can meet the minimum requirements to run a sprint race, 6-furlong race, at Hollywood Park. The reason I say that is one of the races we're going to talk about. Now, this race was 3 years ago when it was run. It was a race that I actually did play. It's one of the examples from the Pace Makes the Race book. But it's interesting that as we look at this, I want you to, and we talk about the early pace ratings or whatever, if the horse doesn't have both ends of this, he becomes less than a good contender under those circumstances. Okay? One other thing, does everybody remember Jim Bradshaw's race from this morning? Okay? There was something very significant about that race. Absolutely, to my way of thinking, that race was a stick-out for one reason only. The horse that won the race had a 13.7 points advantage in the final fraction from the pace line that Jim Bradshaw selected, which is the one I would use also. That equates to 137 feet. Now,
I'll bet on him with 136. You know?
Right. Now, one thing that wasn't brought up this morning, and I want you to consider this when you see this situation, when you're taking horses off of mile pace lines going into a 9-furlong or a mile and an eighth race. The thing to look at the final time, as I recall, the top two speed contenders had run a mile in about a 137. The horse that was the eventual winner had run a mile in about 137.4, about two lengths deficient to the speed person. But in a mile and an eighth race, the top of the lane, the top of the stretch call is 1 mile from the start of the race. So if you can visualize with me for a moment, the top of the lane with these two horses that are pressing each other in a 137 mile, and here's a horse that has 137 feet advantage in the final fraction of the race, only two lengths behind. I don't run very fast because I'm a kind of a large guy, but you better get out of my way because I'm going to the window with everything I got. That's a real betting opportunity. And occasionally you'll see these things. And another thing about the balance, his balance was a minus 27. That means he had 27 more points final fraction-wise to his early pace. His early pace rating was something like 70 point something to a 97.7. Surprisingly, this is a very common balance for a 9-furlong horse, and this has been verified on 4 turf courses that I've played on a regular basis. It's very good, just for whatever it's worth. I don't know anything about Remington Park, but surprisingly, these things are similar as we go through the country. They're very similar because of energy distribution. A general comment about total pace, and then we'll start on this race. The reason I believe that these ratings work so well is because they divide the race into 2 equal parts on a numerical basis. They are not equal in length, obviously, except the amount, not even a mile. But it gives equal value to the horse's performance to the second call, and then from the horse's performance from the second call to finish the race, because they are equally important. If a horse can't be in a position to win the race, he can't win the race. If he's not close enough at the second call, he can't win the race, no matter how much energy he has. If he has tons of extra energy, he can't go that much faster, is what it's boiling down to, because of deceleration rates, which our more sophisticated programs deal with very eloquently. So when we're doing these ratings, if you can start to picture where the horse can be in the race, both on a running style basis and how he matches up with the field that he's facing today, you'll get a lot clearer picture of who you might want to bet at the end of it. So we're going to start with a little sprint race. That's on page 70-something.
Oh, it's in the little book.
It's in the little book? It's in the big book, too. But it's
76 in the big book.
It's on page 76. We can use the big book, I guess. It's probably a little clearer on that one for some reason. This is the second at Hollywood. Believe it or not, this was almost 3 years ago today that this race was run, because it was run on the Sunday after the Belmont Stakes. It's one of the reasons why we selected this weekend, because the examples in the book were all done from the same day all over the country. Golden Gate, Hollywood Park, and Belmont. And we did that so people would hopefully believe that we weren't trying to fudge because one day's good at Belmont and the next one's good at Hollywood Park or whatever. And I was at Hollywood Park this day, and I had a really good day. So the first thing we'd like to do, because we don't have the charts, but the one thing we can do to get you to visually inspect these things and kind of get a notion of how to calculate them is do early pace ratings, because they're real easy. All right, our minimum is 89, which is 46 and 1 is a half mile time.
Could we have the lights down?
Okay. If we look at these, and I know that it's going to be a little bit dark to look at the pace lines, we're going to go through these horses one by one, talk a little bit about their current form, current condition, and how they fit in this race, or if they don't fit at all. And then we'll make a kind of a wild stab at the early pace ratings so that you can get a notion that when you look down the second call times of your racing form when you leave here, that you should be able to give at least a ballpark on the early pace ratings for every horse in every race. And you can start your matchup that way if you don't have the magical eye of Jim Bradshaw, who can do it like a wizard. You know, that's why I did this stuff. It's because I couldn't do that. I was very envious of his ability to do it. So I put it in kind of a little bit more logical order. But 46 and 1, our top 100 rating early pace-wise is 44 flat. Not too many horses can run that. That's why we made it that high. For every length behind a 44 flat, meaning for every fifth of a second, we deduct 1 point from 100. So at 45, the early pace rating would be what? 95. At 46, it would be 90. At 47, it would be 85. And so on down the line. So if a horse is running against a 45 pace, beaten 0 lengths, his early pace rating would be what? 95. If he's running against a 45 pace and he's beaten 6 lengths, what would his early pace rating be? 89, right. So that's the parameters that we're talking about. It's not really very difficult. The early for a route is a 109, 100. That's a 100. And in Southern California, about the minimum is about a 112, which is 85. If they can't keep up with a 112 pace, or they're not on a 112 pace, they have a very, very low chance of winning, except in some of the lower level races and or three-year-old filly type races, races that where there's your slower horses run. I think we're having a little...
Technical difficulty specialist is on the job.
Okay. Why don't we just go down this page. Can everybody see in here?
You can see how this line will show you the winner here. The first horse across this one to this one, well, is your designated win horse.
Can everybody see in here, or should we put the lights up and go over this form quickly?
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about the race before we... You know, we get so number-oriented, we can't just wait to dive in the computer. And I'm probably as guilty of that as anybody. But the most important thing is, before you turn your computer on, is to turn your brains on and put that into action first, so then you know what you're looking for. Because when you see a number, then you recognize that you've either got what you want or expect, or you don't. The elimination process is a lot easier. If you get just a mass of numbers going with no analysis beforehand, oftentimes you make a race a lot more difficult. Now, there's something unique about this race, and after we go through all the horses, maybe somebody can tell me what it is. Okay, how about El Corzo? These are $20,000 claiming horses, older male horses. They're good horses. They're fast. So El Corzo just ran 117, beaten seven lengths in an allowance company at Fairplex. Well, about 6 or 7 months ago. Anybody want to comment on the horse? Slow, yeah. He's slow, and he's also, you know, he needs to really get a race in him that we can trust before we make him even a contender. I would call this horse no form, even though he does have a good series of workouts. At best, he would be a question mark if you were totally unfamiliar with the track. And after you see the rest of the alignment, I don't think you'd even have any question throwing this horse out. How about Womira? He just raced at today's level. He ran eighth. At the top of the stretch, he was eighth, beaten 6.5 lengths. Is this horse in position to win the race? Was the time extraordinarily fast? It was a little fast, but not extraordinarily fast, and he was eighth in a field of 10 horses. We can go ahead and evaluate it later on, but this horse also is probably just a throw-out. Anybody would want to disagree with that? His level of winning was Exhibition Park and allowance, probably a non-winners of one, perhaps. And he really hasn't shown too much. He was claimed at 16 where he ran second, and then stepped to 20,000 and he ran worse. So, no positive signs at all. How about Billy Euphorico? Any comments about the horse? He just won at 16,000. Pardon me? That's a very positive sign of form when they step up off a win, wouldn't you agree? Yeah. If you look at his last four or five races, actually his races have been very good. So there, I don't have much problem with him being able to repeat that effort. Does anybody else? His race one back, he ran fourth, but that was a 116, which we've already established as being a little fast. He was only beaten a couple of lengths, 2.75 lengths. Good race. On top of that, this he was coming back. He raced on the 2nd of June. And this race was actually around the 10th of June, I believe. So he's also coming back quickly. And even though there's a lot of people say, well, I don't pay any attention to recency. And in most cases, I don't either. But I don't think it certainly isn't a negative when a trainer brings his horse back fast, because he's got a live, well-conditioned animal that he wants to get back on a racetrack. Average Dancer. He's from Turf Paradise, and he's got a real high speed rating for Turf Paradise, 90. My experience has been that they have to have 9 points better than what is average or par in the field to even be a minimal contender in Southern California. So we look at Billy Euphorico, who's got an 89 speed rating, and we look at Average Dancer, who's got a 90, and take away 9 from that, That's about an 81. And he's not a contender today. He's just not fast enough. He's not good enough. How about High Mesa? Also just won his last race in very fast time. Ran a 116 flat against a 44-2. That's a dynamite race. Does anybody see anything that would make them a little bit suspicious about this horse? Yeah, who said that? Good. 5 variant, which is very fast. Even for Hollywood Park, it's fast. So even though the race, even considering the race was perhaps 2 or 3 lengths fast, it's still a very good race. How about Holy Smoly? Also just ran a great race, didn't he? Do you see how you take these? You take a look at these three horses, and then El Corazon, no matter how good his works are, is more than likely just a throwout. This horse is really up to his hips in competition today. He's run a 109-4. What about his running style? What would you call him? Presser, right, yeah. Basically, for me, a presser is a horse. We use early presser. I use early presser and presser. Early presser being first, second, and third and close, like within 2 lengths, 2.5 lengths in a sprint. Presser being positionally a little bit further back, but almost as close in lengths. And I don't cut it too fine. I mean, you know, what's the difference, really? As long as you're consistent in your analysis, it's all the same. Hollywood Scott. Anything wrong with that last race? Yeah. It's his first race after kind of a long rest. And you would expect him to show perhaps high early speed and fade out a little bit. Does he have any right to improve perhaps today? What kind of running style? Okay. What's High Mesa's running style? Early. Okay. So we've got we've got Average Dancer, who's also an early presser, although he's not a contender to win. He's probably going to be in that first flight or try to be. How about Dolphin Street? Okay, let's take a look at this last race. It's not a very good race for him. It's not a good performance. But the time was 1:15-2. That was pretty fast. Okay. And he's coming out of the Lowndes Company. He's certainly not a contender to win. But that last pace line needs to be at least addressed. So don't just automatically throw a horse out that's been 7 beaten 12, because in this case he is. However, just double check the final time to make sure that he wasn't completely overmatched. But he's been overmatched at 1:17-1 and pretty much overmatched in everything he's tried, so he's overmatched again today. Lance Manis. Running style? Early. And what happens to this horse if he doesn't get a clear lead? He doesn't win. He doesn't fold up, but he doesn't win. And when I originally handicapped this race, I believe he comes up with some pretty big numbers. And I just was dead set against this horse winning. And I figured he's probably going to be the favorite, which he did turn out to be. But the reason was is just because of what you folks said. If he doesn't get the lead or a clear lead, he doesn't win. He'll be around at the end of the race. You can bet your bottom dollar because he's a professional racehorse. But we've got other horses in here that are equally fast or faster to the second call and are going to just put tons of pressure on them. So just briefly, we've got Lance Manis, who's basically an early horse. We've got High Mesa, who's basically an early horse. We've got Hollywood Scott, who's basically an early horse. And we've got 2 pressers. The preferred running style at Hollywood Park for sprints, as Tom Brohammer said this morning, although this is 92 and this race was run in 89, is either early presser or presser, and occasionally early. Early being the least desirable type of running style, especially when you got 3 of them out there, okay? So because we don't have charts and all that junk, we can kind of go through, and I'll give you their...
Page 79, Tom.
On page 79, right. They have their ratings. Dick, do you want to put this on? Do you want to run the program?
Why don't we just do it on the next race?
Oh, okay.
Got the ratings here.
Okay, all right. Okay. When we wrote the book, we did calculate the last line of every horse, and until you become familiar enough that you can throw out horses and still maintain a high win, keeping your winners in, I would recommend doing that, if only for practice. So El Corazo had an 84-88, 84 early, 88 final fraction, a 172. He has no form. We threw him out, and you can see why. His 88 or his 84 early is not going to put him in a position to do anything in this race. Womera, early 90, final fraction 83. Where is he deficient, according to the standards at Hollywood Park? Final fraction, sure. He doesn't finish his race very well. Billy Yu for Rico. He's got an 89-87. What do you think about that early 89? Is it going to be strong enough today? You think so? I wasn't sure about this. But having done a lot more work since this piece was written and this race was done, I'm more confident about an 89 because he can adjust that because of competitive spirit and good races slightly upward. But he's par on both ends, early and late, and the best late we've seen so far, except for El Corazo, who's not a contender. Lance Manis, he's a 93-86. So if he runs his 93, Billy Yu for Rico theoretically should be four lengths behind at the second call. And this can really turn off some people. And to a certain degree, I wasn't as confident of things then as I am now. But the thing is that when horses run fourth, beaten two, I just mentally say that if Mans Manis runs a 93, Billy Yu for Rico is going to run a 91 today. I don't really have any other explanation because horses run by position. They run a certain position. That's what they're trained to do. And I really didn't think that Lance Manis was going to be able to get away with that 93. Certainly not by himself. High Mesa. He's an early horse, right? He's got a 94-83. Guess what happened to Lance Manis, who wants to be the early horse at 93. If he goes 94, his final fraction is going to come down. High Mesa's got an 83. He's deficient in his final fraction. He's no longer, in my mind, based on two other horses, he's not even a win contender because he certainly isn't going to be able to shake loose from these guys, and they're going to go by him in the lane. Holy Smoly is a 90-85. This is off a Golden Gate pace line. And he gets a -4 track-to-track adjustment. There are 2/5 of a second difference between the Golden Gate 6-furlong records and Hollywood Park. And there's 2 class levels difference. So -2 for the speed, -2 more for the class. He gets a -4 from his pace line. It gives him a 174.5. Look at his balance, 90-85. He's par on both ends, as opposed to the supposedly faster horses in High Mesa. Or that's the only one that I'm talking about, besides High Mesa, who's got a bigger number, but he isn't as well balanced. And this is going to play an important part later on, as you'll see. Hollywood Scott, he's a 93.5, but his seventh length loss was only a 79, so it's not too bad. But again, he's part of the speed brigade. He's a 93.5, we've got a 94, and we've got Lance Manis at 93. So you've got 3 early horses that are within a half a length of each other at the second call. It's really setting it up for the horse that possibly can win, which is the Presser, that can stay with that pace and then go by him in the stretch. Never Trailing. Again, another horse, 89-86. Now, this is the fourth horse that's par, above minimum par for the race. And I've learned that if you stay with these par horses, they're far more reliable. So these are my 4 main contenders to win. I think Howard must have left him out. I'm sorry. Oh, he's in the other...
Right above the clock.
What?
Is that your trailing, Professor?
course, chased the past plays.
Yeah, I know, but his past performances were left out of the big book. They're in the little one. I didn't print this stuff, so I'm going to beg out of that one. Anyway, as early as 89, he's a presser. His final fraction is 86. Total pace, 175. So we're going to rate them by total pace rating, just because we like the biggest on top. And that's Lance Manis, who's a 179. Okay, yeah, his past performance is on page 21 of the little manual, if you want to look at it. It's not that important, actually. His early and final fraction are certainly acceptable, and he's an early horse. High Mesa is a 177, showing 2 points deficiency in total pace, and he's actually 2 points deficient in final fraction. Billy Euphorico is an 89-87, 176. So when I look at this race, I've got this horse that's a presser, who's balanced, and he wants to win because he just won it at a lower level. He's coming back quickly. He's got superb form. He's run 4 or 5 good races in a row against a horse that is going to be hooked in Lance Manis by 2 other very fast horses. Holy Smoly is a 90-85. He's not as fast, either early or late, as Billy Euphorico, so he can be thrown out as a win contender. Hollywood Scott, it's 93.5, 79, 172.5. So when we look at this race, take a look from these horses that we've listed, 179 to a 172.5. There's about a difference of, what, six and a half lengths, if you will, because one point equals one length, roughly. 7.5? 6.5. Do I hear 5.5? I kind of cut it off at about 5. I want to see my horse within 5 points in total pace. But surprisingly, the horse that did not get listed, because he's not a win contender on this list, because we were trying to conserve a little bit of space and not get too carried away, is Never Trailing, who's also an 89-86, 175. So he fits between Euphorico and holy smoke and total pace. But we've got 4 horses that are, Holy Smoly. I guess that was a misprint. Yeah, okay. We've got 4 horses that are par, that can run with this field, both early and late. One of them is markedly superior to the other 3. Who is? Anybody? Billy, yeah. He really is. He's got the third highest total pace rating, but he fits the race better. Does anybody, I really want to make this point that don't be dazzled by a high total pace rating if he can't run that race again. What's the chances of Lance Manis being able to run free and easy on that front end all by himself? It's really remote today. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's really remote. Now, here's a horse that everybody in the racetrack knows he has to be free and easy on the front end, and the horses are the jockeys are not going to let these horses do that. They're not going to let them get away with it. That's why if you just play your top total pace-rated horse, you're going to lose a race like this. Yes? Eighty-five in a sprint, 85 in a route.
No.
That's a good starting point, but I don't have the model for Santa Anita in front of me. I haven't looked at it since Santa Anita.
These may not even be the same for Hollywood next week.
Well,
probably.
Probably. But, based on every race so far at the meeting at Hollywood, so far, I would say that they are.
But, don't write this down and say, well, a horse has to have an 85 final fraction, because you'll find that that's just not true at a lot of tracks in this country.
This is only for Hollywood Park.
Yeah, and of course, if no horse in the race has an 85, well, one of them is going to win.
Right, that's another thing to be considered. There are races where they don't have enough early or late. And that's why you get sometimes strange races that are hard to justify in your mind. But that's why. It's because everybody's either too early or too late. And some horse who's probably properly balanced but not quite as fast will win that race. And Thurlmation will do a marvelous job of getting sighting into those types of races. But it's just an idea that when you see you've got seven contenders, both early and late, you're in a very contentious race, as opposed to the race where you've only got two contenders. Does everybody understand that? You're just looking for the, on a contention basis. This race was very contentious early. You've got basically three early horses and two early pressers. Now, for me, there's only three first, second, and third horses. Now, we've got five of them trying for those spots. A couple of them are going to get eliminated, and they might still compromise two of the others. That's why it sets it up for Billy Euphorico. Just sets it up beautifully. Now, it's kind of interesting to note, if you look at the results chart down below, Billy Euphorico did win at 6-1. Paid $14. Lands Manus ran second and did have the lead at the second call. Never Trailing, our third highest, well-balanced horse, stumbled home third at 16-1. And Holy Smoly, our fourth rated horse, even balance-wise, ran fourth. And High Mesa, who was that big early speed horse who looked to be, you know, real tough because he had a big number of 177, never got the lead, quit, and just ran down the track. Somebody made a comment in the back, which I didn't catch. Okay. Was it a wiseacre mark? remark? Okay, you understand how these numbers work? Depending on how close to par he is, I wouldn't throw him out of the race. I would perhaps throw him out of win contention. I want to make a difference between that. I look for horses that can win the race. One of the mistakes I think new handicappers make is they think that just because horses run second a lot, they want to win. And I maintain that I look for horses that like to win races. They're the best bets, the most solid bets in racing. They don't often have the continuous TPRs that a second-place finisher will have because they run differently. When they want to win, they run harder, or when they have the opportunity to win, and their TPRs will go up slightly. The horse that runs continuously second is one of these horses that runs as good as he can run, but he doesn't really try enough to win. So we try to find win horses here. It's really important to identify which horses want to win races. Like Lands Manus wants to win races. He's won a lot of them. Billy Euphorico wants to win races. Okay? So if you just took those two horses and made a two-horse Dutch box, you're home free and dry. You got the winner and the place horse. But they're not necessarily always the top total pace ratings. I want to really emphasize that.
Before we go on to the next race, I wanted to address a question that has come up three or four times already in this seminar, is that how can numbers this simple work? How can you compete with horses running across the screen? Do you really just use total pace ratings? And the answer is, yeah. Tom's used them for... I guess about 2.5 years or 3 years exclusively. I'm going on two here where we haven't used anything else. They are deceptively simple, and as we just showed you, they don't handicap the race for you. They are handicapping guides, handicapping aids. But we have found their accuracy and elegant simplicity to be the key. Maybe we're both a little simplistic. What do you think? But I can look at a 94 and a 93 and a 93 and a half, which I think is what we just had, and say, whoa, hey, front end's going to be a little crowded today. I can look at an 89 and say that's a good final fraction. There's a number of ways to approach this. If you